a man found a cocoon of the emperor moth and took it home to watch it emerge. One day, a small opening appeared, and for several hours, the moth struggled but couldn't seem to force its body past a certain point. Deciding something was wrong, the man took scissors and snipped the remaining bit of cocoon. The moth emerged easily, its body large and swollen, the wings small and shriveled. He expected that in a few hours the wings would spread out in their natural beauty, but they did not. Instead of developing into a creature free to fly, the moth spent its life dragging around a swollen body and shriveled wings. You see, the constricting cocoon and the struggle necessary to pass through the tiny opening are God's way of forcing fluid from the body into the wings. The merciful snip was in reality cruel. Sometimes the struggle is exactly what we need.
And based on that, we should be able to say when trouble comes our way, here's an opportunity to experience joy. Not in what it's doing with me presently, but what it's promising to do for me in the future.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp, a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Trouble. We've all experienced it, and perhaps endured it. But as Charles Tapp explains, you don't truly know how strong your faith is until it's been tested in those tough moments. This week, we go back to a message Pastor Tapp shared a number of years ago that still rings true, with his message, The Ministry of Trouble.
Trouble is one of those words that you would think needs absolutely no explanation at all. After all, who hasn't been introduced to this thing called trouble at one time or another? For just the mention of the mere word creates memories, thoughts, flashbacks in our minds that many of us would just soon forget. But in spite of that, I decided today to see what Webster had to say as it relates to this thing called trouble. Webster defines trouble as a source of difficulty. And many of us here today have sources of difficulty in our lives. He also defines trouble as a disturbing thought. You may hear someone say, "I feel troubled." He also says that trouble is a bother or something that causes an inconvenience. Someone will call you up at 5 a.m. in the morning and they'll say something like this, "I'm sorry to trouble you. Hope I didn't disturb you." And they know they could have called at 7 with the very same thing, but they chose to call at 5. Trouble is also defined as an effort. Someone may say, "Well, you didn't make the effort, or you didn't take the trouble to call me." And lastly, trouble is defined as an unwanted pregnancy. For you'll hear a young man say that "I got my girlfriend in trouble," and you know exactly what they're talking about. That is a phone call I never want to get. But as I look at this today, it's not so much that there are so many definitions as it relates to this thing called trouble, as there are many degrees and levels of trouble. Let me explain what I mean by that. There is the level or the degree of trouble that we refer to simply as being a nuisance. And a nuisance is something that inconveniences us or annoys us for a period of time, like standing in the long lines in the grocery store or sitting in the long lines of traffic on 495, the Beltway, especially when you're in a hurry. And I've discovered, having come back into this area, that if you're not on the Beltway by 6:30, you might as well not get on the Beltway. But this level or degree of trouble, however bothersome it may be, will eventually dissipate if just given enough time. On yesterday, as I do every Friday, I had my to-do list, and I was running around town trying to scratch off as many things as I could before I would return home to begin to finish preparation for today's message. And I was doing well, Pastor. I was just scratching things off, and I felt proud because I'm a choleric, and cholerics love to just scratch things off the list. Any other cholerics here today? Any? Clerics are shy people. I went to this last thing that I had on my list to do, and as I was coming out of the building, I got into my car, put my key in the ignition, turned it, and absolutely nothing happened. It didn't make a sound like Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z-Z. It didn't even go k-k-k-k-k-k. You know how it sounds when your alternator's bad? It made no sound at all. And I kept repeating this, turning the key over and over again, hoping. I even started praying. Lord, please, come on. I was on a roll. Start this car. Nothing happened. Got on the hood, started pulling wires and twisting things. And I stuck my key back in and did this repeatedly, and still the car did not start. But then it hit me. When you turn the ignition and you don't hear anything, that usually means that the problem is with the battery. So I began to twist the terminals on the battery and started cleaning them. And then I went and got my car and took this wrench that I carry in my car for a particular purpose, which I will not share this morning. And I took the wrench and started hitting the battery terminals. Now getting angry, got back in the car. Vroom, vroom, vroom. It's been running ever since. Trouble. Not major trouble, but it fell into the category of a nuisance. Something that bothers you, but will eventually dissipate, go away with time. Then there is the level of trouble that at times seems as though, regardless of what you and I may do, there is no way to rid it from our lives. There are things that enter our lives, whether in the form of circumstances, such as a tragedy that has befallen us, or even the form of a person that has entered into our lives, and that no matter what you do, you cannot get rid of them. They are intent on bringing you nothing but misery, pain, and perpetual heartache into your life. It is trouble. Not only all these levels of trouble that we can experience, but there are also different ways to encounter this thing called trouble. First and foremost, we can bring trouble into our lives by our own doing. We can bring trouble into our lives by the things that we do, such as cheating on your taxes. And I know we don't have that problem here at Sligo. But we can also bring trouble into our lives by the things we fail to do, like failing to file your taxes. And trust me, the IRS will eventually catch up with you. It may take them a few years, but when you've done something wrong, they'll find you. But when all is said and done, in whatever form or level that trouble decides to enter into our lives, it does so uninvited, it does so unsolicited, and all the time, I'm sure, it does so unappreciated. And if we had our way, this thing called trouble would be an encounter that we would rather not experience at all. If you live long enough in this life, you will experience this thing called trouble at the various levels in which it is comprised of. Look at what Job says in Job chapter 14 and verse 1. He says, "Mortals born of a woman are few of days," and what? "Full of this thing called trouble." I love the way he puts it. He says, "Mortals born of a woman." In other words, he's saying anybody that has breath in their body today, you will experience this thing called trouble. But he's also saying you don't have to be in existence very long in this life for trouble to come knocking at your door. For trouble, Job says, is inevitable. Job is saying here the trouble is inescapable. Listen, in the delivery room, even before you're born, trouble is there to greet you. And sometimes, even while you are yet still in your mother's womb, trouble comes unannounced. When my wife was giving birth to our last child, Victoria, I was there with the doctor who assisted in all three births. And pretty much this delivery was going like the others. It was going as best could be expected. All of a sudden, I saw this strange look come over Dr. Benedict's face. That's the name of our pediatrician. He tried not to show it, but I could see by the look on his face that something wasn't quite right. And then when I started to see the machines to the corner of the room started making these funny sounds. And even though I didn't know what they meant, I knew that it spelt trouble. And it was then that my wife said, "Is anything wrong?" And he said, "No, Mrs. Tapp, everything's fine." But then he reached over to me and whispered in my ear and said, "The umbilical cord is around her neck and it is choking her." And then I saw the heart rate, and it just stopped for a while on the machine, and I said, "Oh my God, we're in trouble." Listen, Job says, when you come into this world, you don't have to be living here very long for trouble to come your way. Even while you were in the room, trouble, delivery room, in the mother's womb, trouble can come knocking at your door. And I don't know if he was a praying man, but I definitely dropped my head and started to pray. And I said, "Lord, please, you can't allow this to happen. I need you to step in and take this trouble and remove it." Pretty soon, the doctor was able to maneuver Victoria in such a way that he was able to remove the umbilical cord from around her neck. And she was born, and she's been given trouble ever since. I'm just kidding, baby. We love you. I'm really in trouble today. I may need a place to stay. For God allows trouble to enter into our lives to help develop our faith in much the same way that lifting weight helps to develop the athlete's muscles in the gym. And this is what James meant when he said that the perseverance must finish its work, or the patience must complete its work in relationship to this thing called trouble. In other words, he's saying that if we hold on and allow trouble to do its sanctifying work within us, we will then begin to grow and mature and become the children of God that he wants each of us to be.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Pastor Charles Tapp and his message, The Ministry of Trouble. Simple Truths for Life is a ministry of Sligo Seventh-day Adventist Church in Tacoma Park, Maryland. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Hi, this is Pastor Charles Tapp. We here at Simple Truths for Life would like to take this opportunity to say thank you for joining us as we continue to pray for those who are being impacted firsthand by this awful virus that has a grip not only on our nation, but the world. As one of my favorite Christian writers has said, the only thing we have to fear for the future is if we forget how God has led us in the past. So as a way to encourage you along your journey, we here at Simple Truths would like you to have a free copy of my book, Don't Wait Until the Battle is Over. Shout Now, Clinging to God in Trying Times. In this book, I share how clinging to one of God's precious promises helped me make it through one of the most difficult times in my life. So to get your free copy of Don't Wait Until the Battle is Over, just go to simpletruthsforlife.com. simpletruthforlife.org. Again, that's simpletruthforlife.org.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and today, Charles Tapp helps you understand you don't truly know how strong your faith is until it's been tested in those tough moments. As he concludes his message, the ministry of trouble.
You see, you may live a life that's exemplary. People may look at you and say, oh, that's a good Christian. He's a strong believer. Their walk with God is strong. But then trouble comes in and begins to reveal things in your character, deficiencies in my character that we had no idea were there. And Ellen White says in Testimonies Volume 5 that those things begin to come to the surface that would have never, ever been revealed if not had trouble come into our lives. It is the ministry of trouble. And this is why we should never say, I would never do this, or I would never do that. Because when the situations and circumstances change in our lives based on this thing called trouble, you have no idea what you will do until trouble comes knocking at your door. For trouble in many ways is like love. You don't know if what you have is the real thing until it's tried or tested. And that's what trouble does with our faith. It tests it. It makes it stronger if we persevere and hold on, but it's also there to reveal the deficiencies of our character that we would have never, ever known were there if it had not been for this thing called trouble. Because trouble shows us and reveals to us the true condition of our faith. Now, I don't want us to get the idea, I don't want us to get the impression that every ounce of trouble in our lives is the result of God placing it there. Sometimes, or maybe I should say most times, trouble is merely the result of some bad or ill-advised decision that we have made on our part. And many of us right now can think of more than one bad decision that has brought trouble and has invited it into our lives. Other times, it's simply the result of just living in a world that has been infected with this virus called sin. As I say from time to time, you know, just living in this life, come on, stuff just happens. It just happens. You can be living a godly life. But because this world in which we all live has been infected with the virus of sin, stuff will just happen simply because we are living in this sin-sick world. And it's been contaminated by the disease of sin. And this is why in whatever form it comes, trouble in the life of the child of God, listen to this, should never be judged by its initial impact alone, but it must always be viewed in the light of its eternal benefit in our lives. Look at Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. We know the story of Joseph here. Joseph said, listen, but as for you, talking about his brothers, you meant it for evil against me, but God meant it for what? He meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save my people. Joseph's brothers, as we know, threw him into a pit and ultimately sold him into slavery simply because he was trouble to them. He was a bother to them because he repeatedly told them about the dreams that he was having, how one day he would rule over them and they would bow to him. And for 13 years, Joseph was in prison. He experienced this thing called trouble. But this one event not only changed the destiny of Joseph's life, but it also changed the life of his entire family as well as an entire nation. For the trouble that Joseph's brothers caused him and eventually Potiphar's wife was all meant for evil. But Joseph said, even though it was meant to destroy me, God meant it for good. But this could not come to fruition if Joseph had not recognized the fact that even when your enemies plot and plan against you successfully, even when their plan is carried out successfully, that if you are in Christ, God can take what they meant for trouble and transform it into treasure. Is there anybody who knows what I'm talking about today? Your enemies can plot and plan against you successfully, but God can take what they thought was a victory and turn it into a defeat for them and a victory for you. Many of us have no idea of the sanctifying work that God is trying to accomplish in our lives based on this trouble. And he says it's like looking through a mirror, trying to see through to the other side, but it's clogged up. It's like driving down the highway, as I was late one night, coming from Chattanooga, Tennessee, going into Huntsville, Alabama. And it started raining. It was pouring cats and dogs. And my defroster was not working. And my windshield was just clouded up. And I could not see in front of me. I was going maybe 10, 15 miles an hour at best, praying along the way. I could not see what was in 5 feet of me. And when trouble comes into our lives, we can't say, like James, I count this as an opportunity for joy. Because many times our spiritual vision is clouded, and we can't see what God is trying to do while we're in the midst of it. And that's why I challenge people when they say, you know, I thank God for my trials. Yeah, you're saying that after the fact. You know, hindsight is always 20/20. But when you're in the trial, when you're in the midst of the tragedy, when trouble is all around you, many of us are crying out like Elisha's young servant when the chariots had surrounded them. And he said to the older prophet Elisha, oh, my Lord, what are we going to do? And Elisha's prayer was simply this: Lord, open this young man's eyes so that he can see that there are more with us and against us. But there's one other aspect to this thing of trouble. Why is it that it seems to be such a popular tool in the hand of God? Because of this. For some reason, trouble works better than any other tool that God uses to get our attention, to make us more like Him. I was reading the other day of a story of a bird who was in a cage, and the owner of the bird would teach the bird songs from time to time, but as long as the cage remained uncovered and there was light going into that cage, the bird could never learn the song that the owner was trying to teach. He would learn bits and pieces of it here and there, but he could never learn the complete song until the owner would take a cloth that completely covered the cage and blocked out all the light from shining in. And it was only when this bird was placed in a state of darkness that this bird was able to learn the song that the owner was trying to teach. Some of you are already there with me. You see, when God shines the light of His blessings upon many of our lives, it's difficult for us to learn the lesson that He's trying to teach us. But you allow God to cover the cage of our lives with a cloth that prevents the light from shining in. And all of a sudden, God's got our attention. All of a sudden, now we're more available to Him and ready to receive the lessons that He has for our lives. Why? Because it's the ministry of trouble. God understands that because of our sinfulness, we have to experience this thing called trouble in whatever level, whatever form, whatever degree, because He knows then He can get our attention. In closing, I want to share with you a quotation from one of my favorite authors as it relates to this issue of trouble. She says, "The circumstances surrounding our lives, listen, are no accident. They may be the work of evil, but that evil is held firmly within the mighty hand of whom? A sovereign God. In other words, nothing gets to me, nothing gets to you without first passing by God. She goes on to say, all evil is subject to him. And evil cannot touch his children unless he permits it. God is the Lord of human history and the personal history of every member of his redeemed family. So my challenge for the children of God today is this: to be able to say like James, when trouble comes knocking at our door, sometimes it'll be waiting for you in the morning in the form of an email or a voicemail. But whenever it comes, we need to be able to understand that if we claim to be children of God, then God's sanctifying hand is in it. As Paul says, all things will work together for our good to those who are called according to his purpose, to those who love the Lord. And based on that, we should be able to say, when trouble comes our way, here's an opportunity to experience joy. Not in what it's doing with me presently, but what it's promising to do for me in the future. Trouble has come to some of your homes. It's come in its various forms. Some of you are going through some things right now and you feel as though God has abandoned you. You feel as though God doesn't even care about you anymore. And you want to know, where in the world is God right now for you? Listen, there's a thing called the ministry of trouble. And whenever trouble comes into our lives, if we truly believe and trust in God, we must know that God's not going to allow anything to take place in our lives that won't work out for our eternal good. Amen? And that's why Joseph could say, you may put me in a pit, you may put me in prison for 13 years, you may have meant it all for evil. Some of you may have employers who are giving you hell on the job. They may mean it for evil. Listen, but God can transform it into your good. But he can't do that unless we understand we must submit ourselves, as James said, to trouble. Not to run away from it, but to stay hold of the hand of God until we persevere, until trouble does the work that it was placed in our lives to do, that we can become the mature Christians that he desires for each and every one of us. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure, but he accomplishes that many times by this thing called trouble. So I challenge us all today not to thank God for the trial, for the trouble, as much as we thank God for what he's going to produce through the trial, through the trouble. Amen? Some of us, when we get to the kingdom, we're going to realize we were saved because of the thing that caused us the greatest trouble in our lives. And at that time, we're going to say, praise God. Notice what I said, at that time. But until then, let us look for the hand of God. More than that, let us hold on to the hand of God through the trouble until God accomplishes his work, his sanctifying work in each of our lives. Is that your prayer today? That's mine as well.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Ministry of Trouble. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts. Just click subscribe so you don't miss any future messages. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Next week, we hope you can plan to listen in again as Charles Tapp shares a brand new message, Working for the Promise. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.